Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you're listening today. We've got a great show up ahead. We're going to talk about technology, you know, how we can use it, how it can become an idol, how to connect with our kids and our teens when technology seems to be stealing all of their attention. In just a moment, Dr. Kathy Cook will be back with me today to talk about her book, Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. Got a couple of quick announcements. First of all, we've got a new Faith Radio app that we're so excited about. Tell your friends, especially those outside our listening network. You can download it for free. So go to your app store and search Faith Radio Network, and you'll find the app there. You can live stream the show from anywhere. You can get a hold of podcasts and articles. So share that with your friends. Also, beginning today, the great giveaway starts. And if you've not listened, let's see here. I'm trying to think. If you've not been with us since last year, you don't know what the great giveaway is. I got to tell you, because I'm so excited. This is one of the Live the Promise things that we do every single year. And we're so excited about it because every year we're just so inspired by you. Really what it is I'm sending you on a mini mission trip. And here's the question. What's the best thing you can do with $15? And just go do it. Maybe it's $10. Maybe it's $100. That amount is up to you. We just grabbed the $15. But I'm sending you on a mini mission trip. Some of you multiply that money by getting together with friends, and you send the money to an orphanage in a third world country, or you throw a party for special needs kids. I mean, the ideas are endless. But here's the deal. You've got a month to go out and do your thing. So be praying about, God, what random act of kindness you want me to engage in, something even out of my comfort zone, ministering to a people group maybe I've not even thought of. On December 17th, a month from today, which happens to be the day before my birthday, but I don't talk about, you know, how old I am, just I like parties, okay? So we're going to dedicate all of December 17th's show to your phone calls. And so it's so fun to have you come back and report from the mission field what you've been doing. The phones light up. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy and a book from our Faith Radio shelf. Two of you who inspire us the most will get this big gift basket full of goodies. And that's why we call it the Great Giveaway, because we're mobilizing an army to go out into the world and minister to people, give random gifts and acts of kindness, come back and tell us about it. You can find more information up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Go to the Live the Promise page. There's this beautiful banner there that Shan and Sarah have created, and you see a gift with these gloves holding it. It's so Christmassy looking. All the information is there. I hope that you'll even start now praying about what God would have you do for the great giveaway. It's going to be a great day. A month from today, I'm going to call you back in and have you tell me what's been going on. Okay, we're talking screens and teens today, connecting with our kids in a wireless world. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Kathy Cook is founder and president of Celebrate Kids Incorporated, as well as an international speaker and author. You can find her on the web at celebratekids.com, and her influencer page is up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Kathy, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
So, Kathy, we love to start our conversations talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage that you've been camping on these days that you can share with us.
There is, Susie. It's Psalm 90, verse 17, and it says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And the reason that that's been really significant the last week or so, although it's a significant verse forever and ever, is that there's so much I could be doing, and I really need God to show me of all that's available for me to spend my time and my resources and even my money on. I want him to show me, mm-hmm. and I want him to establish the work of my hands. And he has done that, and we've had the most just beautiful last week or two here at the ministry. And part of that is, I think, the prayer that God would be in it and that God would be for us and that he would show us his way and that we would listen for that direction and then step out in faith and leave the rest alone. And for me, that's been really significant. I hope that that's a blessing to others. We can ask God for his favor, and he will provide it.
Yep, and he gives us hind feet to walk on high places, makes us spiritually agile. And, boy, I love that. So maybe give me a little insight. Give us some stories of what has happened in this last couple of weeks at the ministry that you would describe as beautiful.
Well, last weekend, we were privileged to be at the Hearts at Home convention with Jill Savage, who I know you've had on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 2,600 moms in Rochester, Minnesota. And just to experience their hunger for truth and their joy as moms and the fact that they prioritize their parenting in the midst of a culture that might say that what they're doing at home is actually unimportant. We were very privileged to be there, and for them to choose my seminars when there are so many they could have chosen, and frankly for them to purchase books like Screens and Teens, and just to hear their stories of having been there in the past and how the Lord has used the truths that I've shared with them to, you know, positively affect their parenting and even their marriage. It was just rich. It just was rich.
Hmm.
So that's a big thing. I think God has revealed, I think, the next book I'm supposed to write, and that's exciting, isn't it, when you get clarity on that. So that's been encouraging, and been able to meet with some people who, you know, have been able to say yes. And I have a booking tonight, so I'm really excited about the radio view and then being able to go and, you know, speak to person face to face. It's just, we're very, very, very grateful for every opportunity that we have.
Wow, that's so great. You know, someone once said, fruitful people will always get picked. You know, there'll be lots for people to do. When you abide in the vine and you bear much fruit and you make yourself available to God, he'll always have something for you to do. So let's talk Screens and Teens, connecting with kids in a wireless world. Talk about the inspiration when you decided this was the next book you were supposed to write.
You know what, Susie, I was hearing from a lot of parents about their argumentative kids, their kids who were complaining, kids who used to be maybe content, who are now very quickly bored, and parents confused and concerned, thinking that they were doing a good job and wondering what was going on. Heard the same thing from teachers, and simply observing in the culture saw a lot of concerns, certainly as I was watching people interact or watching people not interact when they could have been, and saw technology as the root of a lot of that and began to examine the effects that technology was having on the beliefs of our young generation and then obviously their behaviors, connected with more who knew more than I did at that time for sure and even still, and really helped me see how the brain was being rewired and how that was contributing to the effect of kids' behaviors. And I love being able to speak into the life, you know, of parents and say, look, it's not necessarily your fault that your kids are behaving in some of these ways. That gives them great encouragement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to say to the kids, you know, just because you can do certain things easily because of technology, that doesn't make it right. So that's the flip side of that message. And it's been really, really encouraging to be able to go out and about and share it.
Well, this is the culture we're in. I mean, we are in the digital age, and it's hard to imagine us going back from this place. Things seem to be just speeding up all the more. So we might need to face it, identify it, and then figure out how to navigate it. So I appreciate that you've tackled it so well. Here's a quote from your book, "Technologies and how we use them can be wonderfully life-giving. They're both tools and toys. Tools we need and toys we enjoy. But the content and use of technology can also cause problems when they begin to encroach on our development in 5 core areas of need that both parents and teens share." I want you just to even make a distinction between tools and toys and when it comes to how we have been using technology. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that there's, you know, the phone started out certainly as a tool of communication, and it's become a toy in that you can have so many apps and games upon it, neither good or bad, I suppose. Kids have told us that they resent it when their toys become tools used by teachers. So that's an interesting thing to consider. They would rather have their toys remain toys and have access to them at all times, which is unrealistic, and they'd rather that we keep our educational tools kind of off to the side, so to speak. I think that's related to the need and the want issue, isn't it? Where there's a legitimate need to have your phone on or your device on and available, and then there's the want factor. And I think we need to teach kids the difference between the two. That's a huge part of entitlement and a huge part of their behavior.
Okay, so let's talk about the five core needs of young people. I'm just going to list them one by one, and then we can unpack them one at a time. Security, identity, belonging, purpose, competence. Let's talk security for a minute. Just at first glance, Kathy, my kids are grown and gone, so I felt like they got their cell phones when they started to drive, and I know that seems years late now, but that's just where things were back then. I mean, you know, we wanted them to have a cell phone, but not everybody had a cell phone back then. So, but when I look at young kids, you know, who are at, like, let's say a family reunion or out to eat with extended family members, their face is on their phone. And it is like my identity is tied up in whoever it is. I have to look like I'm busy and connected. And I'm not always convinced you're connecting with someone who really loves you and thinks the best of you, but I have to look and feel like I'm connected. It at least looks that way. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. You've summarized that really, really well. Security should be placed in people who are trustworthy, people who are on our side, people who we know well enough to know whether or not we can trust them with, you know, intimate secrets, perhaps with our heart and not just our mind. Certainly God comes to mind. I'm concerned about kids who have placed their security in the quality of their cell signal. They're placing their security in the number of people they're connected with, not the quality of the friends that they relate with. They're placing their security maybe in the score that they got on the game that they played last night, when their security being in, again, their ability to be well and do well and the people that they've been surrounded with. So that's a huge issue.
How do you cultivate then a taste for the things that are deeper, richer, and truer than surface friendships on social media? Because this is like it is an addiction. It's an idolatry for some. It is like, don't you take away my phone or you're going to cut off my arm. So in that context, how do you whet their appetite to desire something that's actually truer and richer in their lives?
Oh, I love that question. Well, we need to turn off our devices, and we need to put them down and leave them in another room. Teenagers tell me all the time that they'd be happy to turn off their devices if their moms would turn off theirs.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy talking with kids about the fact that moms today do use them to, you know, plan play dates and to figure out who's going to pick up the kids after basketball practice and, you know, to connect with a husband to say, hey, can you grab such and such on the way home from work? All of that is so legitimate, and that's, again, the need for the device versus the wanting to be connected for that false sense of security and identity. So kids, again, would say, turn off your devices, leave them in another room, be fully present. And we need to set up those purposeful times. A lot of kids are not going to ask us, but we need to take ownership of that. We're the family. We're the head of the home. And, you know, let's say we're going to have game night. We're going to have, you know, we're going to read aloud. We're going to, you know, collectively write thank you notes to, you know, the first responders in our community and let them know what we think of them. And to do that, we're going to have a silent zone at the kitchen table so that we can really concentrate. And what's very interesting, Susie, is that I am getting regular communication from teenagers and adults, and they're saying thank you for reminding us that we can turn it off and that we can communicate and that it does go deeper. Mm. Kids have told me they like themselves better without their phone constantly on. I just heard from a young mom who took Facebook off her phone on Saturday after hearing me speak and is already feeling greater peace because she's not constantly having to click through to see what's going on, but she can connect instead with the people that matter to her the most, and that would be her, you know, immediate family. So it's the modeling and it's the choice that we're going to put people first that live with us. That's our choice.
And we need to take the lead with that. And I mentioned this on a show recently, but I have an author friend who would take her kids to feed the homeless and they would roll their eyes and groan. But when that one of the daughters got older, she said that was a highlight of growing up. She said, well, you groaned all the time when we didn't. She said, but when time seasoned that, I love now that that's a part of our story. Thank you for doing that. We need to take the lead, and in due time, they'll be glad that they're a family that wrote notes to the law enforcement officials or the firemen in their community. We need to take the lead. Talking to Dr. Kathy Cook, we've got a few copies of Screens and Teens. Give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment.
Your love is like a mighty fire deep inside my bones. I feel like I could climb 1,000 mountains all at once. And I never have to wonder if somebody cares for me. I love the Maker.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. I'm so glad you're listening. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Kathy Cook today, author of the book Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. We've got a few copies to get out into your hands. If you've got questions about how to do just that, how do I connect with my kids in this digital age, this is a fantastic, very user-friendly book. If you've got questions for Kathy, she's right here. Now's the time to call in, 877-933-2484, 877-933-FAITH. I'd love for you to put that in your phone on speed dial, LTP, and that's Live the Promise. You can call us anytime. So we're talking about these five core needs of young people: security, identity, belonging, purpose, competence, and hopefully we can get to each one. Just another word about security. You said technology is not how God designed our need for security to be met, and we need to, our security is actually defined by the question, who can I trust? How do you teach your child who they can trust and what trust actually means as it's connected to security?
Wow, great question. Let's model for them discernment, and let's teach them and talk out loud about why we've chosen to maybe double-check somebody's word because in the past they've exaggerated or lied or made false statements. Let's explain to them why we don't watch certain shows even because they have a message that's disparaging toward youth or adults or the aged or whatever. And so we can do it by modeling, by talking out loud, by helping them think through whether or not someone that they call a friend has really truly behaved in a friendly way. I think those are some things. It's all about the conversation, isn't it? It's all about observing and talking.
I remember when my kids were growing up, and if I saw anything on a TV show where they were making fun of, laughing, bullying on the show, I'd pause or I'd stop, and they'd be like, Mom. And I'm like, no, that's not funny. And if you're going to watch this, we're going to point out some of these incongruencies to the things we believe. It is so interesting to see them as adult men now not think certain things are funny at some other person's expense. It's in their DNA, and it was an organic thing. And they would, you know, we'd laugh once they got out of the house that I'm not the queen of the remote control anymore. But it changed their perspective, and they said, thank you for helping us to become critical thinkers. Otherwise, we would have taken that thing hook, line, and sinker. And easy to do, just little things like that. All right, Karen is checking in from Lino Lakes, and she's got a comment. And Karen, you get a copy of Dr. Kathy's book. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hooray! I'm so glad because I just got in my car from the airport to listen as I do every day to you on the way home. Thank you for being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I need this for my grandkids because I'm an old lady that's not really tech savvy. I have an old flip phone that doesn't even text.
All right. Well, you're going to love this book.
So I need to learn.
Okay. Well, you will. This is very user-friendly. Did you have any kind of question for Kathy today?
You know, I would have a comment. When I got in the car and turned on, I heard you talking about writing the thank you notes to our local people. It's like, I wish I would have thought of that as I was raising my kids even before we had cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for everything. And I'm going to keep listening because I'm going to be in traffic going downtown to Minneapolis to a dinner. But I so appreciate, Susie, what you do every day, and I know it's hard sometimes, but keep doing it.
Thank you, Karen.
You're such a girlfriend.
You are a girlfriend, too. Thank you so much. Really love.
God bless.
Love that encouragement. Thank you so much. 877-933-2484. Very good. Okay, so we talked security. Identity, you said, a screen use has contributed to an underdeveloped identity. So interesting. Say more.
Identity is defined by the question, who am I? And it's extremely important because identity controls behavior. Who we think we are is who we will be. It's who we show up to be in, you know, different life situations. And because of social media, especially for the teens and the preteens who are there and even young adults, if we post, for instance, only about our academics, then people only know about that side of our life. That's all they only talk to us about. And we only develop that part of our lives. And we forget that we also enjoy horses and the botanical garden and a particular type of music. If we only post the songs that we enjoy singing, then people only know that about us, and they don't know the rest of us, and they don't help us to develop the rest of us. So that's a dangerous potential, is that we get very narrow. We spend more time with the screens and the people there who really don't know us as well as the people with skin on. And that's a detriment because, again, God created us to be many, many things, and he would want us to develop the whole of us.
Well, you sure can see what a perfect storm this would be, Kathy, because if teens get their identity by default from social media, in a moment's time, that same identity can be wiped out from a negative comment, a criticism, a betrayal. Talk about that, because it just feels like a perfect storm and a trap of the enemy.
Oh, that's so true. And then they fake it, right? Because if they really value those people that are now saying, I don't like you anymore, then they're going to fake it, and they're going to change their opinion to try to remain popular or get back into a clique, if you will. And so now their beliefs are a mess, and their beliefs become the storm, and they say one thing to one person and one thing to another, and they end up not knowing who they are and what they believe. And this is why they appear to be wishy-washy and inconsistent and even moody, and it becomes very difficult for parents and teachers and others to speak life into them. So it's a tragedy. You're exactly right. And it's also true, as you were saying before with your own children, that they're believing the lies from media and from the lyrics on the CD, which is why moms and dads must pay attention to what they watch, what they listen to on their handheld devices with streaming options. And we may not even know what they've got on their devices, but the lyrics of CDs, for instance, can, you know, convince them that their generation is lost and that they don't exist for any purpose, and that can contribute to horrific decisions on the part of our young people.
If you were to just pick one common denominator, like the greatest factor or core reason for such a lack of identity and a drift when it comes to these young people and their identity, what would you identify that to be?
Oh, my goodness. The lack of commitment to Christ, the lack of talking about the core values that we say we have, even in our homes. Moms and dads, unfortunately, who are so busy that they've turned quiet time into a red light app, you know, and that's not a verse at the red light. It's not quiet time. You know, we're saying we have no time for family devotions. There's so much going on. Like, I totally respect that, but seriously, we need to carve out time for God and His Word and the worship that's due His name. And we must follow through, and we must call sin sin, and we must have a standard that is solid, that isn't going to go by the waves and the wind. Our kids deserve that, and so do we.
Hmm. You know, I always say we can't impart what we don't possess. And if we are abiding in the vine, if we really, if our relationship is the richest thing about us, and the joy of the Lord really is our strength, and our whole countenance reflects that we serve a God in heaven who knows our name and put the stars in place, how attractive and contagious that actually is. But if we're shaking our fists and saying all these ought to's and should do's, but we're living the same conflicted, you know, rat race culture the rest of the world is, our words just won't ring true. And so it just always goes back to, are we walking this out ourselves? I mean, are we wanting something for our kids we're not even buying into ourselves? I mean, we've got to ask ourselves that question. Talking to Dr. Kathy Cook, title of her book is Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. I'd love for you to chime into the conversation. You got a comment? How have you done this? How have you managed and navigated these waters? Or maybe you just need some advice from Kathy. Now's the time to call 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More great conversation up ahead with Kathy Cook when we come back.
Doesn't matter how deep out. Keep on shining, and they'll see his light burning in your heart. And if the road gets rough, just keep your head up. Let the world see what you're made of. That His love's alive in your deepest part.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dr. Kathy Cook today about her great book, Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. And she identified five core needs of young people: security, identity, belonging, purpose, competence. We've talked about security and identity thus far. So let's talk about this idea of belonging. You said it's defined by the question, who wants me? Say more.
That's correct, Susie, and it's a legitimate need, again, wired into us by God as our creator, and it needs to be met in people who are trustworthy and on our side and for us. We don't need to necessarily have tons of friends, but we all were created to have this vertical relationship with people here on earth who care about us and that we care about. The more that we know about who we are and the healthier our identity is, the healthier our belonging will be. So sometimes we can teach friendship skills and relationship skills, which is totally appropriate. However, if somebody's identity is still, you know, I am a jerk, then their belonging is going to be negatively affected by that. So that's an important thing for people to understand, is that these needs are connected. Again, if we allow our kids to be on teams of games, on video, different gaming and computer games and a lot of social media, they may be getting their belonging needs met by a false sense of a connection that isn't nearly as deep. It can be real, but it can be less real, certainly, than the eye contact friendship with kids in a youth group, kids in a school, kids in a neighborhood, even their own siblings and relatives. So we do want to make sure that we have our kids ready for real time, real relationships, and to have the character that will support healthy relationships where we give and take and we serve each other.
So even though technology offers this superficial sense of belonging, I imagine young people would take that over any amount of time of feeling disconnected, which goes back to just the observation I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that you see a young person at a family reunion or out to dinner with a bunch of family and friends and their faces in their phone. It's almost like a free fall. Like, I can't put this down and risk any amount of time where somebody's not talking to me, where I don't have a sense of belonging, identity, or security. So I'm keeping my face here. So sorry, I'm going to reject you first. I'm busy. Do you know what I'm saying?
And I do.
Which is so sad when you think about it, because it's almost like you have to go through that little bit of time, put it down so that you can engage in a deeper sense of belonging. How does a mom convince a child or, you know, an adolescent that there's more than what you have right now? How did they help them kind of take those steps to a deeper sense of connection?
You know what, Susie? I think we need to just do the hard thing sometime and take the phone away and say, trust me, you can live through this. And so we don't allow them to check their social media feed for X amount of time. You know, I think from the time you get home until, I don't know, my preference would be many weeknights. There's no tech at all. They don't need it until the weekend except for school stuff. But that depends upon family values and a whole lot of things. Certainly, if it's the first thing they're checking in the morning, then there's an addiction to what the social friends are telling me rather than what I'm hearing from God and my family. So I think we take it away and we let them know they've lived through it and that, in fact, they didn't miss out on liking that many posts and that, in fact, the friends that still matter to them, they still have, and that the others were fake and the pressure you were under to be popular is unhealthy. And this is where the kids have said to me, I do like myself better now that I'm no longer playing this game. But kids are not going to know that until the parents force the issue. And this is where parents have to love their kids enough to say, no, we are concerned, we're taking it away, and we'll give it back to you, you know, later today or, you know, tomorrow or whatever your policy might be.
Mm. And I'm going to share just something that I did with my boys when they were young, and all the, just to, with the caveat, I made plenty of mistakes. I'm not saying for a moment I did everything right. I didn't. But there were some of these things that I just noticed in my own bent towards sin or just repetition of just the way we can grab hold of things, that I would do a lot of partial fasting. I didn't have the physical health to do full fasting, but if something got too important to me, I just laid it down for a while. Well, I noticed my little guys had the same bent towards a toy, a video, a movie, or whatever, a game. And so I would just say, you know, this is not a punishment, but nothing should have the power over you like that toy does. Only God. Greater is he that is in you. So I'm taking this thing away, not as a punishment, but to show you that God is bigger in you than you think. And they would literally go through withdrawal. I mean, I'm like, they'd get snarky and cranky, and I'm like, you live through this. But within a few days, they would be fine. And we'd reintroduce that old toy, and it would inspire fresh gratitude. Go figure. You didn't have to go buy anything. You just got this old toy, and it's got new. But the thing is that was amazing is when they got into their high school and adult years, they self-imposed partial fast. Well, they would notice when something got the hold on them, and they go, you know, I'm going to lay that down for a while. And I just feel like, my goodness, if we could just, as adults and kids, go through these times. I mean, think about a parent maybe saying, girls, I'm going to get you all together. We're going on a retreat. But the caveat is no phones. And we're going to spend time with each other. We're going to spend time with God. And we're going to go help somebody who has less than we do. And let's see what happens. But we have to kind of be the instigators of some of that stuff, don't we?
Absolutely. And again, it's not easy for us. A lot of us have become as addicted, if you will. And again, this is also where we teach the need and the want. So if you need to keep your phone on because you have a mom who, you know, you're the emergency contact for healthcare, absolutely. If you need to keep your phone on so that, you know, someone can get a hold of you in case some committee time changes, I totally get that. And that's what you teach your kids, is there's a need and there's a want. You draw that line.
Excellent. So we're covering these five core needs of young people that Kathy's identified. Security, and that question is, who can I trust, right? And then identity. What's the question for identity again? Is it who am I? Who am I? Okay.
Who am I?
And then belonging, the question is, who wants me? Now this one, purpose, why am I alive? Speak to that one.
This one's so important, Susie, because if we don't know that we're alive for any good reason, we might as well die. And we actually, it's a leading cause of suicide. It's also a leading cause of apathy and depression and the whole give up mindset where we don't believe that we were created for any good reason. Now, the good thing about technology is that it can give kids purpose. We are discovering in real time how broken the world is, right? When the Paris tragedy occurred, we knew instantly if we were connected to the internet, if we have apps on our phone or email blasts that we subscribe to. In the old days, you know, it would have taken a long time for that kind of message to get through. So if you're raising children without hope and without purpose, there can be despair that is the foundation of all that's wrong in the world. But when you're raising kids with hope and you're raising kids to believe that they were created on purpose, for purpose, for such a time as this, then when they discover that the world is broken, they're thinking, well, why was I created now then? What can I do about this? Can I find a way to discourage terrorism? Can I find something to help with the architecture of buildings so that they withstand the hurricane winds? What can I do so that the school shootings decrease? Maybe I can become a first responder and, you know, make a real difference in our community. So kids can discover purpose by watching the advertising on TV and the social media feeds and looking at the brokenness as we watch the news together, or not. Again, if they're only gaming, if they're only, you know, scrolling the ridiculous games and the ridiculous YouTube videos that are out there, then they're going to believe that their purpose is to watch the feed and play the games, and they're going to do that when they're 30 years old and married, and it'll destroy their marriage.
You know, for about 5 years, my hubby and I would speak to kids in our community who committed their first crime, and they had the option to go before the judge and have their crime on their record or go through this diversion program that was 10 weeks long, and we would have one of the weeks, nights, where we would talk about the ripple effect of our choices. And without fail, most of the kids were in there were just slouching in their chair, total attitude. But there would be one or two kids you could tell that just were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They had concerned parents there, you know what I mean? To look around at these kids and say, you're believing a lie that it's cool not to care. Just the way you're sitting there, you know, slouched looking at me, it's not cool not to care. You're tomorrow's leaders. And this was a secular program, but they said we could talk about God. So I would say God imparted gifts and talents and treasures and time to you. And if you squander it, we are lacking one leader in tomorrow's world. And every once in a while, you'd see a few of these people sit up, these kids sit up a little straighter. Because I would say, hear this as an invitation, right? Not an obligation, an invitation to take some ownership of what's going on in your world. I said, because people who want to destroy us are hoping you stay slouched in your chair that way. They're hoping that you don't give a care about what's happening in our world. But I'm wondering if you have any advice just as far as imparting a healthy sense of purpose in these kids so that they, when they're ready to launch, they have they carry a portion of God's burden for the world.
Oh, that's so beautifully stated, and I love that you and your husband have done that. It goes back to identity, right? Who am I? So when we make sure that our kids know the gifts, you know, Ephesians 2:10, they were given to them in advance. When we help our kids identify their gifts and their talents and their interests and their abilities and even their desires, and then we connect them with people they can already begin serving. Like, I love that you're doing this great giveaway. And for families to participate together where kids have a vision for already reaching out with who they are and what they have and what they can be and do, and they're already change agents to the glory of God, and they watch a person say thank you. They experience the physical change in a person when they're given new shoes or a meal or whatever. Oh, my goodness, when kids can discover early on that they can make a difference now and they don't have to have a college degree to do it, it makes a difference. So it has to do with telling them the truth, calling them to account when they're underperforming, serving with them so that they know that they're obligated from the get-go, not just when they are, quote-unquote, grown up. Oh, it makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm. they're made for it. I mean, it's in our DNA. Absolutely. To be givers and to be servers and to be aware of those who have less than us. And I think it brings an instant perspective to your life. When you're serving somebody who's less privileged than you, it brings perspective to your problems and your and really everything that you're dealing with. Okay, so we're talking about these five core needs that I think are so key: security, identity, belonging, purpose. Purpose is, why am I alive? And finally, competence. What do I do well? Speak to that.
Let me start by saying this. If I don't know why I'm alive, I don't need to do anything well. So when I meet young people and adults with, you know, who are apathetic, who have only a negative perspective about themselves, whose entire language is, I can't do this and I don't know how to do that, I'm almost always finding that it's a lack of purpose. Because when people truly know why they were created, and in a general sense, we were created, you know, to be, to pass on the truth and to tell others about Christ, and we were created to be ambassadors of love, if you will. And then there's the specific, if you will, DNA and gifting that we have that can show up in different situations. When we know that, then we're motivated to find the competency we need to fulfill the purpose. And we can also do a double-sided arrow between those when we discover our competencies. Like, I was a chatty Cathy as a child. I don't know about you, Susie, but I was 2.5 years old, you know, and nicknamed Chatty Cathy. And I was enrolled in children's theater when I was young, and I was given a thesaurus as one of my first books because my parents recognized that I was a wordsmith as a young child. Those competencies then revealed to me some of the specific purposes with which I was created. So there's a definite connection between the two. And we need to make sure kids know that they have to work for it. Technology has made things easy. That's great. Like, I love the undo button. I'm an author. I like copy and paste. I like spell check. But life doesn't come with an undo button and a restart button. And we're going to have to persevere through the valleys to get to the mountaintop. And that's rich. And that's part of life. And that's what our kids have to understand, is that competence is not necessarily handed to you on a silver platter. It may be something you work for, and they're only going to work for it when they're surrounded by the right people who are for them. And then we're all the way back to security. Am I hanging out with people that are for me? And if I'm not, then I'm not going to be willing to work to develop the competency.
Boy, I feel like as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing such a distinction between training up your child in the way they should go and coddle them so they're super comfortable. I mean, part of training them in the way that they should go is exposing them to different opportunities to find out what they're gifted at, what they might love that they don't even know. And that takes intention, doesn't it?
It does. That's a great point. And it takes risk-taking for us, you know, because they might make a mistake, and we might then have to decide that's okay.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. When we come back, speaking of competence, Cathy says that we're not wired for perfection, but rather competence. She'll make the distinction, and that not only applies to our kids, it applies to you. Maybe you needed to hear that today, that you're wired for competence. God's made you competent. But not wired for perfection. Don't go away. We're talking to Dr. Cathy Cook today about her book, Screens and Teens. I think we've got a few copies left. Last segment with her, so if you want to chime in, now is the time. 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Challenge for you. Ready? Since we're heading into the holiday season, how about we as adults impose a partial fast on ourselves? So we start to limit our technology in this next month of this holiday season, even next month and a half, getting all the way through the new year. But we just decide, you know, on weeknights, we're turning that phone off. As Cathy said, if we have an emergency, if we're a contact for a parent, that's a totally different thing. But what if we exercise some self-restraint with the full purpose of engaging more deeply with our family, and we prayerfully consider asking them to do the same thing? What would happen if we just started to push the boundaries back a little bit and created more space for relationship? And truly, we can't ask our kids to do something that we're not actually willing to do ourselves. Well, I'm talking to Dr. Cathy Cook today. Title of her book is Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. And we've been spending the hour identifying five core needs of young people, and I think they're core needs for all of us, really: security, identity, belonging, purpose, competence. And we're kind of wrapping up with this idea of competence. And I love that you said that we are not wired for perfection, but rather competence. And you further wrote that if we're striving for perfection, that that desire is actually not from God. Explain what you mean there.
Yeah, I think perfection is a lie of the devil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfection is Jesus. If we think that we can be perfect this side of heaven, then that's the ultimate pride, and we're saying we didn't need him to die on our behalf. And that's a very scary and a sad situation. Technology, in young people's opinion, technology is perfect. So because technology is raising them, because of the amount of time that they spend with it and on it, they can begin to believe that they can be perfect too. They're looking for the perfect score. They X out of games they're about to lose because they have to win everything. They can't afford to make mistakes, which is why they might not take risks. And that's all very damaging to their potential and to their future. And we need to make sure that we are full of grace toward our kids when they make mistakes, that we help them understand it's not the end of the world, that mistakes happen, and that's part of learning. We need to have the right attitude as parents and teachers and friends toward their mistakes. Was it a mistake, or was it just a part of the natural effort? Like when kids fall down when they're learning how to walk, you never call that a mistake. That was just something that had to happen for them to make the progress to walking. And then we can have that kind of attitude and help the kids have that attitude toward themselves as well.
I love that. Was that a part of their natural effort? You know, I like that you even address the parent thing, because so often we as parents, our kids' mistakes and our kids' natural efforts trigger our own stop, our own insecurity. And if we don't deal with what that brings up in us, we suddenly are pushing them and driving them to strive in a way that is not sustainable for them. So maybe speak to that parent who is saying, you know what, I'm expecting, looking for perfection because I need them to make me look good.
Oh, Susie. What you said is exactly true, and that's what we hear a lot of. Parents who have placed their security in their children's obedience, when their children are disobedient, especially in public, they lose it all. And that you can't do that to a child. That's just not right. And no matter what our issues are, no matter how we were raised, no matter where we stand, we need to make sure that we have all that right, that our children are not given to us to meet our needs. Jesus Christ, God, the Father, meets our needs. And some of us need to apologize and explain to our kids that we've placed them in an uncomfortable position. And this is probably why I've noticed you're afraid to admit that you need help. You're afraid that you're afraid to come to me with a less than great grade, because I have, by mistake, placed way too much of my identity and security in you. And I owe you a huge apology. Would you please forgive me? It's not appropriate. Mistakes are a part of life. I've made plenty. We want full effort. We want you to ask for help. That's a part of the learning process. So, yeah, what you said is huge. Again, this is why Jill Savage and I wrote No More Perfect Kids, Love Your Kids for Who They Are, because children who believe they can be perfect will not become who they could have been. And it's a pattern that we see. I've had children say things to me like, well, here's an exact example. A child that was in the playground, 5 years old, did something really cute on the playground and ran toward his mom. And instead of saying, did you like that? Was that good? Which is what maybe you and I would have said when we were kids. The 5-year-old went up to mom and said, was that good enough for Facebook or should I do it again?
Oh, my goodness.
5 years old, and he's already absorbed this idea that it's his job to help his mom have something to talk about and to look good. And we need to protect our children from that mentality and make sure that we're not expecting more from them than is appropriate.
I just got to admit for myself, the times when my kids' choices stirred up my own insecurity, where I wanted to go, oh, and just try to control things, especially in this digital age, I had to go back to them. And as you say, apologize and say, you know what, you have nothing to prove and you have all of eternity to live for. You know, I'm out of the way here. This is between you and God, and it can't be about how it makes me feel. This is, you know, you've got nothing to prove in all of eternity. I want you to be free to be a work in progress, because that's what God's done for me. But that is a scary proposition, I'm just saying. You know what I mean? Well, here's a quote from your book. You say, young people can struggle to believe in their competence because of how easy it is to base our worth and ability on how we compare to others on a social media platform. We can always find someone more beautiful and more able there. Now, here again, that sin of comparison. How can you help and empower your child to just embrace their story in the light of all of these comparisons and these perpetual Christmas cards on Facebook?
Yeah, that's great. I think one thing we can do is keep their former work and compare current to the old days. So rather than them comparing themselves to a friend or a stranger on Facebook, if you will, hey, last month, you know, it took you 30 minutes to work this many problems, and look at tonight, it took you only 20 minutes to work the same number of problems. You are getting smarter and quicker. Mm. We can, you know, keep pictures of artwork, if not the whole thing. Nowadays, cameras are so easily, you know, available on our phones. We can keep snippets, you know, keep evidence and say, look, 2 weeks ago, this was your attitude. Today, this is your attitude. I'm very impressed and grateful for the change that I've seen. So a comparison to our past, because we're supposed to be becoming who we were created to be. And so that can be helpful. I do think that if kids come to us and complain that, you know, I'm not as fast as Jacob, or, you know, my writing isn't as good as Lisa's, or I wish I was, you know, X, able to do X according to Y, then we look at them and go, why is that important to you? You know, why is Lisa's performance the standard? What is it about Lisa? And listen to them and see if there's anything legitimate there, and then say, are you really asking for help here? Do you really want to be as fast as Lisa, or as creative a writer as Lisa? Why is that? And if so, are you willing to work on it? And let's look at your skill set.
You just make this, I mean, your wisdom really is profound, Kathy. I was going to say, you make it look so easy, but I know it's not. I mean, this is from study and diligence yourself. I mean, truly, but that's great, great, great wisdom. Well, before we wrap up, is there any, just one takeaway that you want listeners to, I mean, there's so much, I've got pages more that we could talk about, but we're running out of time here. But is there a point that we've not covered that you want to leave parents with?
You know what, let me mention this, Susie. You know, Thanksgiving is upon us. If you are, I loved what you said before about making changes for this season, the next 6 weeks, and really making sure that we have family time. If you are going to be visiting relatives on Thanksgiving or having relatives into your home, and you're going to want a different technology policy, please introduce that idea to your children now. Don't wait until the night before the grandparents arrive to say, hey, no phones this weekend, because that's really not fair to your children who have been used to having their phone in their back pocket at all times. If you're going to ask your children to be out of their bedrooms and in the den or at grandma's house where there's not a strong cell signal and you want them to handle it, begin to have that conversation and let them know again why that is. And another thing to do over this holiday season is to encourage your children to share with their grandparents and their great aunts and their siblings and cousins or whatever why they have a game that's their favorite. What song is it that is their current favorite? What app on their phone do they really enjoy playing? And maybe grandpa would enjoy it. So we can share technology as a way of bridging the gap, and we can also put it away as a way of bridging the gap. And I think having those conversations now would be really, really profitable and appreciated by the kids.
Wow, such practical wisdom, Kathy. As we wrap up, wondering if you pray for that parent listening who feels like she's fighting a losing battle, that she's just, this digital age is more than she can handle, and trying to connect with her kids on that level, you know what I mean, there's a wall so high that she can't break through. Would you pray for her that she would have just some wisdom to start today, taking little steps?
And I'd love to. So, Father God, we just do ask on behalf of parents and grandparents who are listening that they would continue to come to you for your wisdom, that you would be able to speak through the discouragement, the depression, and the doubt, and that you would continue to give them wise counsel. I pray that you would give them the courage to follow through on any ideas they've heard in the show that they think are relevant. And Father God, if teenagers have been listening, we pray with gratitude that they were here and hearing the insights that Susie and I shared, and ask that you would cause the conversation to continue as we go off the air, and that the family would talk through these issues and that there would be fruit that would result from our time together. And we're grateful for it. And I pray optimistically in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Kathy, thank you for your time today.
You are welcome. Thank you.
Always a good conversation. Title of our book again is Screens and Teens, Connecting with Our Kids in a Wireless World. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I'm challenging you, pray now, be thinking now, ask God now, what would you have me do for this great giveaway? It can be a family affair, as Kathy said. Get your kids together and do this together and step out of your comfort zone and engage in a random act of kindness for somebody in need. It will add to your holidays, and I want to hear about it. More information's up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Remember this too, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.